All right, well, there you go. It's 6:15. Tommy Tucker, WWL, hot and humid, chance for showers today. Couple of waves in the Atlantic, but not expected to affect us as we matriculate through hurricane season. Mark Hamrick joins us now, Bankrate senior economic analyst. You heard what President Trump had to say about these job numbers. How you doing, Mark?
Good to be with you, Tommy. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, sir. Tell us, for those that don't deal with this information regularly, what these job numbers are. Where do they come from? Who makes them up? Because we don't know. I mean, people hear about these things on the news, and then we stand at the water cooler or the coffee machine, and we repeat them. We don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, the president is wrong in the way that he's describing these numbers as essentially manipulated or made up for political purposes. I guess some of the suspicion, if you want to call it that, arises from the fact that they are revised repeatedly after the initial release. So, for example, on Friday, we had the release of the July jobs report, and in that we had 73,000 jobs added on the month, which was shy of expectations. And as part of the regular review of this data, as more data comes in, coming into federal government, civilian employees, not political employees, civilians who've been there for many, many decades, there were downward revisions for the months of May and June, which subtracted a total of 258,000 jobs, so that the previous months were not what we thought they were. They were much weaker. And there are revisions that are also done, the so-called annual benchmark revisions, that go back and attempt to look at, well, are we measuring what's going on with the job market, the workforce, the economy appropriately? And this is what the people who are professional statisticians have been doing for as long as I've been looking at this. And I've been looking at this for many, many years. And it took until this president of the United States to say that, oh, well, this was a negative jobs report. There must be something wrong with the data, and there must be something wrong with the person who's in charge of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And over the weekend, you saw essentially a chorus of very sharp criticism of the move from industry groups such as the American Statistician Association, the National Association for Business Economics. And these are groups that are comprised of people from private industry, not political people, who are saying we need robust and credible economic data to make decisions of all kinds, whether, let's say, you're running a bank, you're running a radio station, even just sort of trying to manage your own personal finances. Is the economy getting better? Is it getting worse? Is it marching in place? And if we can't trust the data, then we're in a lot of trouble, because at that point, we're flying blind. At that point, then you don't really know what to trust or what to believe.
See, when it comes to the exact science of this, where does the Bureau of Labor Statistics get their numbers? Because it seems to me to have an exact number on, I don't know how this can be anything but a rough estimate to begin with, and then a guess after that. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, it's based on survey data. And so surveys are done of individuals, and surveys are done of businesses. And so, for example, the payrolls data that tells us the number of jobs added on the month is based on the survey of businesses. And then on the unemployment rate, that is a survey of households. Are you working? If you were, how much were you working? You know, did you get a pay increase? That kind of thing. And it's done, the initial data draws are conducted by people who work for the Census Bureau, people who have experience on that sort of thing, and then the data is compiled by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So there's some thought that one of the reasons why we're getting larger revisions right now is because the response rates on the surveys have been falling, meaning fewer people are initially replying. And so if you go back a month or so, you'll get more responses over time. And then that's when, if you want to call it the revision or the refinement in the data, comes. And so that's essentially what's going on. And, I will say also, given the fact that most people don't eat and breathe this kind of information, is that there's been a lot of discussion for years now that, like so many things, such as tax collection or tax enforcement through the IRS, The collection of statistical data is not a priority of some members of Congress who are fine with underfunding it. And so it has been said that we need to do a better job of funding the statistical gathering and management, but that hasn't really been coming. And so, you know, much the same as not in my backyard with funding all kinds of things, this has been underfunded. And with the president seeking to undermine the whole process, it's hard to imagine that that gains any momentum to give the agencies the funding that they say they need.
Right, we're talking to Mark Hamrick, Bankrate senior economic analyst. Bankrate, hardly a bastion of liberalism. I think that would be accurate, Mark, wouldn't you?
Well, I think one of the reasons why we're trusted is because we aren't political. We just aim to help people understand what's going on with interest rates and the economy and help them to solve their financial problems.
We'll talk about what these revisions mean to the economy or what it indicates for the economy when we come back. 621 Traffic Now, WWL. Now, that's President Trump. We're talking to Mark Hamrick, Bankrate senior economic analyst, about what it means with the revision of the jobs report. But when it comes to President Trump and the revision of the jobs report, that's not the way I remember it from last August, because it seems like last August he says that without, and he had no evidence for this, that Joe Biden's administration was caught fraudulently manipulating job statistics. So you can't have it both ways, can you, Mark?
Well, of course, that's not unusual, the stance of this particular person. Sure. And let me put it this way, Tommy. You know, you and I talk regularly. That's a great blessing for me, and I appreciate it very much. If we thought for a moment that this had been, you know, even a chance of this happening, we would have been shouting it from the highest rooftops. And you can imagine in the polarized political environment, you would have heard more about this, let's say, from members of Congress. They would have perhaps held hearings on it. I'm pretty sure the Democrats are going to hold hearings on this now because, you know, they need to shine a light. Essentially, both parties need to shine a light on the need for credible and robust economic data. But here's the thing, you know, having watched the economy for many, many decades now, you know, we need to know when the economy is performing well. We need to know when it could be at an inflection point. We need to know when it's not performing well. And I'm going to maybe make a bet, not literally, but I'm going to hold on to hope that we'll continue to have credible economic data. But the president has undermined trust in that process, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be a good number of people who are going to follow his lead on this, at which point, you know, we're going to have a problem. But, you know, we need to know, for example, if the economy is softening as it appears that it is right now, and certainly the Federal Reserve, where Jerome Powell is going to be, you know, in office until May of next year. The Fed needs to know what's going on with the economy. And so don't all the consumers and businesses and other stakeholders in this economy, including investors. And so to undermine the credibility of the economic data, or worse, to weaken the ability to produce the numbers, would really be unprecedented and really a travesty.
Thank you. And so the effect on the on the interest rates is likely to be what as a result of this?
Well, so as a result of the apparent weakening of the economy, the chances are rising that the Fed could cut interest rates at the mid-September meeting as the president wants. But it's a little more complicated than that, because the Fed needs to also have confidence that inflation is coming down closer to its 2% target. And unfortunately, one of the impacts of tariffs, taxes on imports, as we all know by now, is to raise the costs that are passed along to consumers and to some degree either paid by business or absorbed by business, weighing on their profit margins. And so essentially, if you think of a balancing act here where the Fed is by law supposed to strive for stable prices and maximum employment, right now both of those targets are under attack.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Mark Hamrick, Bankrate senior economic analyst. Somebody texted in, Trump derangement syndrome strong this morning. You're ridiculous to start this stuff at 6 a.m. Well, all I'm doing is calling out BS, because you can't say the same exact thing is odd last year, now it's even. It's up last year, now it's down. It's black last year, now it's white. You can't do that. It's just BS. So I would ask, where is the real Trump derangement syndrome when it comes to this kind of thing? We'll take a break, come back, talk to Matt Boudreau about the Office of Motor Vehicles. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan.